Thank you, Lori, and thank you, Ted, for all your great leadership in the Sustainability Task Force and within the cotton industry. Really appreciate it. So today, slides are changing. My presentation is going to go over sustainability goals that Ted had alluded to earlier. So just to kind of recap where we are and where we came from. This used to be high tech, the real horsepower, and we've progressed to maybe a little more advanced machinery. That certainly helped in productivity and getting things perhaps more efficient. But today we're at this level, really large cotton pickers and machinery that has real-time yield sensors and immense amount of data, so much that we can hardly figure out how to best use that data to drive good decisions. But through this progression through the last 35 years, as Ted had mentioned, we've done a lot in terms of sustainability. This technology, amongst hard work from the growers, has enabled us to become much more efficient, just as Ted had talked about. For instance, the soil loss down by 44%, our water use efficiency up by 82%. But for a long time, we had focused on what we've done, but brands have generally said that that's not enough today. Things have changed, and we need to know where we're going and how we can be a part of that. So we've really pivoted from our good success track record towards where we're going and how we can include brands and stimulate further sustainability activities on the farm with growers. So to do that, we've come up with sustainability goals. As Ted mentioned earlier, defining sustainability is a really important component of this. So here, the task force, meeting the needs of the present while improving the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. And just preserving is certainly a good level to start at, but if we can improve, that's even a higher bar. And I think that agriculture can really have an improving effect on the ground through putting carbon in the soil and other effects and creating habitat. So I think there's a really opportunity for not only to preserve our environment, but also improve it, meanwhile providing good food and fiber for the world. So for the Sustainability Task Force, to create these goals, we considered a lot of different KPIs, key performance indicators, the list being here. And we wanted to come at it from a broad perspective to see what made the most sense in terms of what to benchmark ourselves into the future. We considered all these, but we landed on these six key goals for defining our sustainability journey into the future for the next 10 years to 2025. So that includes 13% increase in land use efficiency, a 50% reduction in soil loss, 18% increase in irrigation water use efficiency, a 15% reduction in energy use, and a 39% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions, and also a 30% increase in soil carbon. So there's a lot there. We're going to go through each one of those and show you kind of how we got to those goals and show you the data behind that, because that's really important too. We're not just making a pie-in-the-sky kind of claim. We are very serious about this. This is fact-based, science-driven, data-driven decisions that really made something that we can actually achieve, but we have to work towards. So kind of framing this, currently, U.S. growers, a large percentage of them actually use a lot of conservation tillage. I think it's around 65%. Meanwhile, 35% are conventional. So a lot of growers are doing a lot of these sustainable tillage activities, which is going to help soil carbon and keep soil on the ground instead of in our waterway. So that's currently something we currently do, and this is from the Natural Resource Survey. But can we help that 35% that it does make sense to perhaps go more conservation tillage? Can we help get them to do more of that? And that will certainly relate to greenhouse gas emissions because the tillage as well as just getting carbon in the ground. And you can see here that the goal for greenhouse gas emissions is 39%. You can see through time over the past 30, 40 years here, we've been trending down. And that's largely due to increasing yields, being more efficient with our production inputs. And we've picked a pretty challenging goal here. You can see that that's well below the bar there. And the reason why that is that the Paris Climate Accord occurred right around the same time as which we were creating these goals, and we recognized that the seriousness of that effort and the situation. So the 39% reflects data as suggested by the Paris Climate Accord, and this is a really good way in which we can show brands that this is not just us picking a goal that's not created in a vacuum. This is something that relates back to a bigger picture of where we are trying to go from a large-scale humanitarian perspective. So we hope this trend is going to continue and we can get to that goal, even though this is a bit of a reach. We do acknowledge that. Land certainly is an important thing to consider here. So just to put things in perspective and frame it, cotton uses about 3% of the overall agriculture land. And this is kind of one of these things where if you Google cotton, you get a lot of different facts. But we like to reaffirm and really pull up the real hard data that does show the real facts around cotton. And One of those is that with that 3% of the land, we create about 28% of the overall global fiber demand, which is really, I think, an impressive thing. So through time, we have certainly decreased our amount of land per pound of cotton through great research, as demonstrated here at the Beltwide, and we've increased our yield. So we hope to continue that trend, even though we do have some challenges that I hope that people in this room and this conference can work to overcome. But what's going to drive this is certainly continued investment in breeding, perhaps using tools like CRISPR gene editing. That's very exciting. Could have some great breakthroughs there. Further precision agriculture activities such as irrigation, fertilizers, and yield mapping, that's a really big thing, and things like precision conservation, taking unproductive land and putting it to better uses and saving the grower money and being more sustainable. And again, I mentioned the data from all the different high-tech farming equipment. You have so much data now. Can we use AI and other machines to better learn from that and make more informed decisions on the farm that can hopefully help us be more efficient and thus more sustainable and profitable? Back to this tillage, mentioned that earlier, and that really has the increase in conservation tillage has really helped us decrease our soil loss, and we hope to target those people who are still using conventional and see if it does make sense, and it may not always make sense, but where it does make sense to do more conservation tillage, strip tillage, or other activities. And our goal is to meet the value of T, which represents 5 tons per acre soil loss, and that is about what is determined to be what is created. So it's a tolerable loss, relatively net zero loss, because you create soil every year and you have some leaving. So we hope to get to that value by 10 years. And that's a 50% reduction, which is pretty significant as well. And we hope that more cover crops, that will certainly help us get there, keeping the soil on the ground, keeping that soil structure really in good shape, perhaps rainfall capture and other type practices. And then just really, we know in a lot of times what we need to do in certain places, but it's an education thing and getting people to try, growers to try new things that might be foreign or maybe they haven't done in the past, but with new technology and better understanding may now work for them. So it's a big educational component to this in a lot of regions. And we have a lot of great growers, particularly in West Texas, that have big field days surrounding soil health and also cover crops. So there's a good push towards this, but we need to do more in this area. Water, one of those internet facts that you often find, often refute. So just to frame it in context, you might hear claims of cotton and water, but when you look at the overall picture, cotton represents, as I mentioned earlier, about 3% of the agriculture land. That's how much of the land is actually represented by, being used for cotton. However, it also uses only 3% of the agriculture water, so it's relatively proportional. And if you look at the lion's share of the water, it's these other crops that are really, there's certainly more of them, but they're also using water as well. So we are relatively equivalent between the percentage of the land and the percentage of the world's agriculture water. And to speak more upon that, through the years from 1980 to now, the blue line there is the water applied. So we've decreased the amount of water we apply in the United States. Meanwhile, we've more than, significantly increased the yield. So we've decreased water by 40% and increased yields by 50%. And that is a big success story, and it's taken a lot of hard work from researchers and growers. So the trends are trending in the right direction, and we hope to continue that. However, if we were to continue that trend, we would be making it rain by growing cotton. And as optimistic as I might be, that's not going to happen. So we had to pick something out a little bit, along with a little bit less of an increase in efficiency than that. So we picked an 18% increase in the water use efficiency, and that's the amount of water it takes to get the cotton to grow. So to get there, we're going to use different things like precision timing on irrigation. So this right here is a sensor that measures the temperature of the canopy, and also soil sensors to understand when the crop needs water and we can get planted at the right time, the right amount, so that it gets the appropriate yield boost as well as doesn't waste any water whenever possible. So we hope to further increase those adoptions and the technologies become more and more affordable. Cell phone transmitters are becoming cheaper and you can get real-time data perhaps to your phone or to other equipment that a grower might have that can really better, real-time see what's going on in that field. And the pipe planter has been a big one. It's a tool that helps calculate how much water in each row you might need for coming out of your pipe. So a lot of technologies, different apps that are being employed in this area that have been helping growers and will continue to into the future. Energy use is another big one. And that really well correlates back to the greenhouse gas emissions as well. So we hope to get a 15% reduction in energy. And that'll come from reducing tillage, increasing yields pretty much helps all these indicators, which is really important. Being more efficient with our nitrogen is another really big one because it takes a lot of energy to create nitrogen fertilizers. It comes from natural gas typically. So that's not only a driver in the greenhouse gas category, but also in the energy because it takes a lot of energy to create the nitrogen fertilizer. So we hope to increase the efficiency there. And also as different grids around the world become more and more transition to cleaner energy sources, that will also be a boost here to help us get to our goal. So not only are we focused on getting these goals, we're also focused on quantifying this and tracking this through the time and helping get different projects to help stimulate and spur this continual improvement. So we actually have a measurement goal beyond our actual sustainability goals, and that is to reach 2.5 million representative acres in terms of what's being adopted in the field print calculator. And that's we have to do that by 10 years, and hopefully by 30 years we can get to 100% of the U.S. cotton acres. So right now we have several projects going on, one in Louisiana, which you'll hear about later. We are getting some launched in Georgia, and we currently have some in Georgia, and we hope to move towards West Texas, where there's a large amount of acres that we hope to tap into to meet our goals. And for some of you who may not know about Field Print Calculator, there's a great tool by Field to Market, as Ted had mentioned earlier, that allows you to select a field such as this in this graph. You can pick one of those squares and relate the inputs and outputs, and it'll determine the environmental impacts in terms of the key indicators that we talked about, water quality, land use, soil, irrigation, those types of things. It provides a spider graph, and you can bench, the grower can benchmark themselves against other growers as well as national averages. And through doing this, it's really important that the benchmarking occurs, some learning. We can catalyze improvements. They can perhaps make on-farm changes, some modeling to understand how they can improve their operations, and also enabling sustainability claims that are very important towards big brands such as Walmart. Recently, there's been a big push towards creating science-based targets or publicly facing goals from brands to say, we are going to reach a certain reduction in greenhouse gas emissions by X date. And that's a big statement. They're now on the hook. But a lot of those reductions are going to come from their supply chains, as you might hear about a little later in this presentation from Rowan Atwood or Philip Henson. And those reductions are pretty much what we have to do. We have to get better, more efficient, so that brands can also meet their goals. So Walmart recently launched a Project Gigaton, which is to reduce the emissions in their supply chain by a gigaton of carbon, which is quite a lot. And as such, we have a couple different projects with them that we've started and continue to work around soil health, water sensors, traceability, and field print calculator use. And we're hoping to take that to the next level, perhaps this year or next. And then also we have a project with Wrangler and, of course, the Louisiana project as well. So we have a lot of different projects, and we're going to continue to ramp this up and hopefully larger and larger scale to drive those improvements to help growers be educated and more efficient. Just a little more about the UGA project. We are working with Dr. Ed Barnes, who's probably not here, but another session, and some of the researchers in this room. We have several 22 farmers participating in 2017, and we actually got water sensors on their farm to help them measure when their crops would need water and when they could better apply that. And I think it actually transmits the data back to the grower, and I think this project has been working well, and we hope to continue that. So to kind of sum it up, if we mess the yield thing up, if we have something that comes in and destroys our yield, we cannot be sustainable. We need to really preserve our yield, and that requires good entomology research, good ag engineering, and really keeping everything on the rails. We need to continue to focus to fight things like FOV4 and pest resistance. But doing that, we preserve that, and hopefully increasing yields through breeding and genetics. That will certainly help us be more sustainable, but also cover crops help keeping the soil on the farm, keeping carbon in the ground, better use of our water, and precision management is certainly going to be a future of this, using perhaps robots, aerial unmanned vehicles, sensors and things like that, perhaps even satellite technology to understand how we can be more sustainable, more efficient, more effective. So that's it for now. This is just the goals of where we're going, and that's been really helpful in talking to the brands and telling a story of not what we've done, but really how we're actively engaged in this overall picture of where the humanity is trying to go, the brands are really pushing towards, and the U.S. cotton industry stepping up to that challenge. So thank you.